My inspectors and brothers, tonight from last week and NYC, we have completed half of the 25th jinn. Today, effectively, we have completed Surah Baqir, Surah Fussilat, and we have read about half of the entire portion, the entire Surah Shura, and some part of Surah Az-Zukhruf. In Surah Fussilat, the word Fussilat actually means the surah which was, or rather the surah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains in detail. And this is in reference to a particular verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala utilizes this word Fussilat. Allah ta'ala says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي آيَاتِنَا لَا يَخْفَوْنَ عَلَيْنَا. There are many people out there who are looking for fault. They are looking for some kind of faults in the ayat and in the verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says those people are not oblivious from us, they are not hidden from us, we know who they are. أَفَمَنْ يُلْقَى فِي النَّارِ خَيْرٌ أَمَّنْ يَأْتِي آمِنًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned various things with regard to them. One particular aspect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they put fault on the Quran by saying that is this Quran in Arabic? Is this Quran has it been revealed in Arabic? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, we have revealed this Quran in Arabic. Not just any Arabic, but in the opening verses of the surah, Allah ta'ala says, تَنْزِيلٌ مِنَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ كِتَابٌ فُسِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. And in another verse, Allah ta'ala says, عَرَبِيًّا مُبِينٌ. In very clear, very distinct Arabic, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. Now the question would come, naturally a person who does not want to accept, who from the very from the very beginning, they don't have this propensity to accept, they will come with some kind of an excuse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they would have come with this excuse and they would have said, why was this Quran not revealed in another language? And the opposite of Arabic is ajami, in some foreign language. Now here the word a'jamiyun is used. And a'jamiyun means such a person who, despite knowing Arabic too, they do not know it in its entirety. They are not fasih in this language. And a person also who doesn't know Arabic at all. They are what? The person who does not know Arabic at all, and the person who knows Arabic but does not know Arabic in its entirety. In other words, they do not know the Fusha, the most classical Arabic, the Quranic Arabic. Then such a person is regarded as an a'jami. And there's another word also which is used, and that word is used ajami. Ajami means somebody who is foreign, somebody who is not Arab. Whether that person speaks good Arabic or not Arabic, that person is called ajami. But a person who speaks Arabic but does not speak the most classical form of Arabic, and such a person who does not know Arabic at all, they are called ajami. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُسِّلَتْ آيَاتُ. This Quran that we have revealed in pure Arabic. And if we revealed it in any other language, they would have said, they would have turned around and they would have said, why is it not explained? Why has this Quran not elaborated anymore? This little part, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, that they would have put this excuse forward by saying that why has this Quran not elaborated? Why is this Quran very brief if it was in any other language? This, my respected brothers and sisters, shows the greatness of the language that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Quran to be revealed. One thing we should remember is that the Quran dictates Arabic. Arabic does not dictate the Quran. The Quran in fact shaped Arabic, and over time, over the entire period of time, languages they erode, languages begin to corrode, and languages change. So much so that sometimes there is absolutely no sign or vestige left of that language, such as Latin, for example. It is only used in law books. It is only used, in kind of textbooks, but it's no longer spoken language. So my respect to that is language, as time goes, due to the changing of civilizations, etc., languages begin to erode. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved the Arabic language. And rather, Allah has not preserved the Arabic language, Allah has preserved the Quran, which dictates the Arabic language. So the Quran actually has shaped the Arabic language. The Arabic language did not shape the Quran. In fact, it is such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His pure words. Allah revealed His pure words. And in order to close those words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the Arabic language. Now this Arabic language Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose because it is a language which is very deep and it is a rich language. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is Allah's word, and they would have said, if وَلَوْ أَنزَلْنَاهُ أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ. if it was if this Quran was revealed in any other language other than Arabic, they would have said, why is this Quran so brief? It should have explained it more. This tells us a lot. This tells us that this Arabic language is a very deep language, it's a very rich language. Let me just give you one example. Let's say in this Quran, let's say, you know, it's not at all, but let's assume the Quran was revealed in English. Okay? And we had to do one of the shortest surahs of the Quran. And let's say we started off with Qul Hu Allahu Ahad, say He is Allah Ahad. We would have already stuck on the word Ahad. Because Ahad we would have translated as one. And Ahad is not one as in that one which has two. That's not Ahad. Ahad means it's a combination of somebody, of rather that being who is unique. It's a combination of some of a being who is absolutely unique. And at the same time He is absolutely singular also. It is a combination of such a being. And therefore, Ahad, there could have been no substitute for it in English. Let's go to the next verse. Allahu Samad. You would translate that Allah is self-sufficient. Another translation, Allah is independent. Okay? And that's all. But Samad is not independent. Just independent. That's the translation, the loose translation, or the closest translation. Samad is that being who is absolutely independent from his creation, and his creation is absolutely dependent upon him. That is Samad. Samad is not, Samad is a two-way, it's a two-way meaning. Samudun. It's a two-way meaning. And it actually means the one who is absolutely independent of others, and others are completely dependent upon him. Now if we just have the Quran revealed, assuming the Quran is just revealed, that say Allah He is unique, Allah is independent, would have not had this entire meaning, or this rich meaning of Samad. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this Arabic language. And we look at every word, in fact every letter. Today we read one verse of the Quran. وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is to show you, it's not an exaggeration, and I've mentioned this here before, but nonetheless I'll mention it again. It's not an exaggeration when we say that even one letter of the Quran, just one letter, not one word, just one syllable of the Quran, is there for a purpose. It is there because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Quran is sensitive. Every single letter there is there for a particular purpose. It's not just there coincidentally. Now we look at the same thing of what we read today is mentioned in Surah Luqman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Luqman said unto his son, Ya bunayya aqim as-salat, O my son, establish salat. Wa'mur bil ma'rufi, and encourage towards doing good or instruct towards good. وَنْهَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, and forbid from evil. وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَ, and do sabr. In other words, have patience over that which comes upon you. Any calamity that befalls upon you, have patience. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, that is of a very determined act. That means if you made sabr when you were overcome with some kind of calamity, you made sabr, then that is a very determined act. That is the act of those who are well determined. In other words, just like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, strongly determined person. Now in this verse here, today that we read, the difference between this and Surah Luqman is just one letter. In Surah Luqman, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. In this verse that we read today, إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Just one letter extra. The reason for that one letter actually is there for emphasis. And that one letter means the. La means indeed without any doubt. In other words, it is emphasis upon emphasis. The sentence starts with inna, which means without doubt, indeed. And then la is there to even emphasize it even more. And that's why we say we be very careful and learn tajweed. Because sometimes if we make a little mistake, for example, a person says, La ilaha illallah. What does that mean? Nobody worthy of worship besides Allah. If a person says, La ilaha illallah, then the meaning would be, it would not be exactly extremely eloquent, an eloquent sentence, but the meaning would be, indeed there is an object of worship besides Allah. La ilaha and la ilaha. La ilaha, so there is a la min alif, and la means indeed, without doubt. So in this verse, Allah Ta'ala says, La min azmi al-umur, without a doubt, indeed this is a very, very noble act, it's a very determined act. The surah that we read today, or rather the verse that we read today. What's the difference between the two? The difference is, Luqman alayhi salam told his son with regard to calamities, natural disasters. If natural disasters have to happen, natural calamities have to happen. Like I think we did the example last year also. If a person steps out of the masjid and it started hailing, there was hailstorm. And when we stepped out, we saw that our car was damaged. There was hail damage on our car. Alright? So what does Allah Ta'ala say for that? What's the dilemma? Make sabr. Whatever has come upon you, make sabr. Because if you make sabr at this juncture, it is indeed a good deed. It is a well-determined act. Alright? That's one level of sabr. But in this verse here which we read today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking of a level much further. And when is that sabr actually called for? When is that sabr actually solicited? In the verse that we read today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not talk about a natural disaster which happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَمَنِ انْتَصَرَ بَعْدَ ذُلْمِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ سَبِيلٍ إِنَّمَا السَّبِيلُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ يَظْلِمُونَ النَّاسَ وَيَبْغُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not talking about us making sabr upon a natural disaster, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about وَجَزَاءُ سَيِّئَةٍ سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهَا. That if a human being has done something wrong to you, then you have a right of retributive justice. You have a right of extracting justice from that person. You have a right for that. But in such a circumstance, if you did sabr, and you would have that right of yours, then that is indeed, without a doubt, a very well determined act. And that only is determined by one letter. It's just one letter. Lamin, you know, the one person, min, and in the other one is lamin azmin mur. So my respected brothers and sisters, that is why the Quran being revealed in Arabic, this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, this is one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed it in this Arabic, a rich language, which has synonyms, which has words to explain, which has, such deep meaning that could have not been explained, that entire meaning would have not been achieved had it been in any other language. And in this very same surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Now we tie this up with quite a few verses put together, and inshallah, this will be our final, this will be what we conclude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed those people who say, Allah is our Rabb, they say, Allah is our Rabb. ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. And thereafter they remain steadfast on it. So the objective for us, or rather the criteria, what is asked of us, is not only to claim that we are Allah, but there's a subtle nuance in here. That subtle nuance is that once you will say Allah, you will be tested. You are definitely going to be challenged. You are going to be tested on that. So it's not just the fact that we say Rabbun Allah, our Rabb is Allah, but thumma istaqamu, after we say that, we remain steadfast. We remain steadfast. A sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Oh Rasulullah, Allah, tell me, give me some advice. Such advice that I don't need to ask anybody any counsel for that, for anything after this." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say amantu billah, say I believe in Allah. And after you say that, let your body, so to say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kul amantu billah thumma istaqim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say amantu billah, and thereafter let your body prove that statement of yours to be true. Prove that statement of yours to be true. In other words, remain steadfast on it. Remain steadfast. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, part of istiqamah is to say that Allah is my Rabb also, and to continue saying Allah is my Rabb, even if that particular faith of yours is challenged. And we will be challenged. You see, we have challenges out here, my respected brothers and sisters. Many challenges out here. We have challenges which are, as Muslims, living as Muslims, etc. We have many challenges out here. We have our own little problems also that we have to face. But the greatest challenge that we will face is that challenge with regard to our faith, with regard to our belief, with regard to what we hold very dearly to us, inshallah, and that is our faith. We have a challenge. That is a challenge that will always be facing us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be absolutely clear about that. That once you have come into this, once you have accepted it, once Allah has chosen you. I just thought about something, once we were reading. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَىٰ دَارِ السَّلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my respected brothers and sisters, look at all the faces here. Look at all of us here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in this particular verse, it is like Allah is the one who has invited us. Allah has invited us. Each one of us, it's just like if we were invited for some kind of a banquet, or if we were invited to some kind of a party, or if you were given tickets to some kind of a concert, or whatever, now, don't go to concert. But if we were invited, okay, and we were given a ticket, and we were given a VIP ticket, each one of us, Allah has given us a VIP ticket. We are sitting here because Allah has given us that ticket. Allah has invited us. Wallahu yad'u. Allah is the inviter. And my respected brothers and sisters, after Allah has invited us, whatever He offers to us, that is what we've got to accept. He's invited us. And whatever He offers to us, that is what we've got to accept. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has offered to us, is nothing there for our detriment and for our harm. Whatever he offers us is only there to make us stronger. It's only there for our own benefit, whatever he has offered us. So we have been invited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, once we have accepted that invitation, and we say, oh Allah, you are our Rabb. The requirement for us is to remain on them. The requirement, let's say, Qurtubi is mentioned that Thumma Istaqim means that once you say Allah is your Rabb, then you remain so steadfast on it, you say, I'm going to die also with these words that Allah is my Rabb. I'm going to leave this world also. You know, we read in the Janazah Salah, the dua in the Janazah Salah, وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتَهُ مِنَّا فَتَوَفَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. اللَّهُمَّ مَنْ أَحْيَيْتَهُ مِنَّا فَأَحْيِهِ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. Oh Allah, those of us who you are going to keep us alive with Islam and Iman. And when you give us death also, give us death also with Islam and Iman. That is what is istiqamah, that is what is regarded, that is what is wanted from us. And just a little later that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ. Whose words can be better than that person who invites towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And upon inviting towards Allah, he says, أَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I am indeed from amongst those who are Muslim. Now this verse, the Mufassirin have two opinions, or rather, they will say there are two purposes of this verse, of saying, of this part of this verse, where a person says, I am a Muslim. One is a person says, I am a Muslim, in other words, I am from one among the Muslims, I don't regard myself as any kind of a special Muslim, I am just one among the Muslims. But the other is, وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ بِالْتَفَاخُرِ. A person says that I am from among the Muslims, and he feels proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him a Muslim. He feels proud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made him a Muslim. And that is our requirement today. That my respected brothers and sisters, at no point in our life should we feel in any way we suffer from an inferiority complex. Allah has given us the best of religion. Allah has given, despite what people would say, ridicule us and probably ridicule the Quran and ridicule various things. Today we read some verses where people will begin to ridicule the Quran. But despite whatever is faced, despite whatever is thrown at us, we are from those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen us to be Muslim. And we are proud and we are justly proud to be Muslim. Why are we justly proud? It's just not a statement, a hyped up statement. We are justly proud because had we not had Islam, then I think the words of Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, they fit very, very, properly and very completely upon us. Ja'far radiallahu anhu was called by the king of Abyssinia, right? Najashi, Negus, King Negus. His name was Ashaman. He called Ja'far ibn Abi Talib and he said, what brings you here? Why have you taken refuge in our land? Ja'far ibn Abi Talib told him that in fact we have come here because our people had not allowed us to practice our Islam in Makkah Mukarramah, and therefore we have migrated seeking refuge in your land. And then after that, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib gave a small little introduction to what this whole Islam is all about. He said, Kunna qawman ahla jahiliyyah. And this puts on us too. He said, we were an ignorant nation. We were an ignorant nation. We fought over petty matters. If we found a drop of blood on the ground and we were hungry or thirsty, we'd go down and lick that drop of blood. And we would eat carrion. We would eat fetid meat, rotten meat. That's what we would do. We would fight with one another. We would break family ties. And we had all these ills of society within us. Up until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to us this Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he taught us beautiful habits. And he taught us not to fight with one another. And he taught us to join family ties. And he taught us that we have a much more greater purpose in life. Not just the purpose of just living. نَحْيَا وَنَمُوتْ. وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. That we're going to live and we're going to die and then there's nothing else going to happen. No, he taught us that we have a much more greater purpose in life. And he gave us some purpose to live for. And this Nabi came to us, and my respected brothers and brothers, for the same words of Ja'far ibn Abi Talib upon us, because had it not been for Islam, where would we have been? So therefore we should be justly proud that this is the deen which Allah has given us, this Islam which Allah has given us, it is that beautiful deen which has covered every aspect of my life, from the time I wake up early in the morning, till the time I go to bed at night. From the top of my body, from right at the top of my hair, right till my toes, to tell me how to conduct myself. Which religion is so comprehensive, that tells us how to comb our hair, and also tells us how to cut our toenails. which religion is so? We should be reminded by the words of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, when somebody said to him that, "Oh, are you?" They tried to mock at him and said, "Are you an adherent of that religion which also teaches you, your Prophet I believe also teaches you how to step into the toilet? That means you should step in with your left foot." So he said, "Yes, yes, of course, I am proud to be an adherent of that religion whose Prophet not only taught us how to enter and to leave the toilet, but he also taught us حَتَّى الْخِرَاءَةَ وَالْإِسْتِنْجَاءَ. He also taught us how to wash ourselves in the toilet. So we are just because this is the Islam that brought about, that my respected religion that has brought about that kind of a change in us, that brought about that metamorphosis in us. This is the Islam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us some kind of quality. It has given us some kind of worthiness. Because had it not been for Islam, we would have not been worthy. Really, we would have not been worthy. We don't know where we would have been at this point yet. So we are justly proud about that Islam which gave worthiness to this world. And I'm not saying only from a religious perspective, but even from a worldly perspective. The world will say that when Europe was in absolute darkness, Islam brought about that light. I was reading some time ago that in Turkey, when the Ottoman Empire was enrolled, that in Turkey, they were, you know what we have veterinary services in order to take care of? In order to take care of animals. And some of these voyages who had gone around and they had traveled to the Islamic land, to the Muslim land, and they had gone into the Ottoman Empire, and they go to Turkey and they find that there is this hospital which takes care of animals. And they say, these are a crazy nation. They are so compassionate that people are being compassionate towards human beings, they are also being compassionate towards animals. And they were vets at that time. And they could not believe it that a human being could also be so compassionate to an animal. Where did we get that teaching from? Of course, today it's not something surprising. That's why none of us are surprised about what you're talking about. Because we see vets all over, we see veterinary clinics all over. But this was at the time when Europe did not even know about how to spell death itself. There's nothing to know how to spell it. At that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us this through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that animal, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman of ill repute, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted her Jannah because she showed compassion to a dog. Who taught us that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us that. Islam taught us that. Can you imagine? It was those people who were killing one another. Who were killing one another for the sake of their own petty gain, their own little petty problems. They were killing their own siblings, they were killing their own brothers and their own family folk. And now arose a nation from those very savages, let's call them. They were savages at some time. From those very savages arose a nation who were careful even with regard to animals. Who were careful also with regard to, oh Rasul of Allah, the camel comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Rasul of Allah, my master, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hears this conversation, this camel complains to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that oh my master, he overloads me. And our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, there you have overloaded that camel, because we'll be questioned about this on the hereafter. Where our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a woman who was a pious woman, but she is in Jahannam because she stopped feeding her cat. So that's the deen which Allah has given us. So the next time we are faced with, oh, so you are Muslim. Yes, I am a Muslim. I am proud to be a Muslim. I am proud to be that Muslim who wear my clothes above my ankles. Yes. Because that is what I'm proud of. That is what my Nabi taught me. I don't do it because of some scientific, somebody comes up with some scientific, reason for that. I do it because my Nabi taught me. And that's what we need, my respected brothers and sisters. We need to be proud about this deen that Allah has given us. This deen. And how do we be proud? Allah mentions it in Surah Ash-Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there will be a time, even the people of the past, the people who were given the book before, فَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أُورِثُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ لَفِي شَكٍّ مِنْهُمْ مُرِيبٍ. Sometimes they were overcome also with doubt. Sometimes their faith was also shaken at times. And they also had doubt with it. So therefore Allah ta'ala says the antidote for that is فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا. Allah ta'ala gives us a few instructions. فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا. If you don't want to be taken by that doubt, if we don't want to be overcome with an inferiority complex of always feeling that we are, small, we are little, we are backward, we are reactionary type. No. If we always want, if we have that little feeling of that, Allah Ta'ala gives us the antidote for it. Allah Ta'ala says, فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا. Go about and without any fear, go and invite towards Allah. When in fact towards the very same thing who you feel inferior about, soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create the importance of that and the superiority of that in your heart. So go about and invite towards it. فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُوا وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. And whatever Allah has told you to carry on doing, continue doing it. Don't be overcome with what society dictates to you. And my respected brothers, there is something I forgot to mention here, is that we are faced sometimes there are particular laws which are placed upon a Muslim. Yes, we may be in the country, maybe there are certain laws that we cannot, we cannot change those laws. Alright? And like lately, the law that has been passed with regard to, same gender marriages also. Alright? We can't change that. We can't change it. And of course, it's gone. I'm not saying as a defeatist we can't change it. We should try and lobby in whichever way possible. So I think maybe we as Muslims, generally we can't change it. But if we can't change it, that doesn't mean that we've got to also adopt the same idea. Nobody, not even the country, asks you that you, since this is law, you've got to accept it, that this is the principle, or this is what your feelings also and your emotions also should be in sync with it. There are many Christians out there who also don't agree with same-sex marriage, with same-gender marriage, because we cannot change that. You cannot change that feeling that is within us. You cannot change it. You cannot change the principle of a person. We cannot change the values of a person. They're not forcing us to change our values. Yes, there is a law that has been passed, and the law has been promulgated, but my respect to that is that doesn't mean that we've got to change our values with regard to that. Allah Ta'ala says, "Oh, yuzawwijuhum dhukran wa inatha." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a system in this world. And in order for the proliferation of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that a person should be married of the opposite gender. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealed in the Quran. And no person would go about as a, as some kind of an apologist, try and look into the verses of the Quran. Ram Qutubi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the person who looks into the Quran in order to try and justify the sin of living in this land, so maybe we should try and look in the Quran and reinterpret the Quran so that the Quran now fits society and the law of the British land. No! No, that's our values. Yes, if that's the law, then we don't, we're not openly saying that we oppose it, but deep down, as far as our values, that nobody can change. We still, because there's an entire organization called Coalition of Marriage. This is not headed by any Muslim. This is headed by mainly a Christian group. And they also don't agree with this. So we don't, our values doesn't have to change. Our values don't have to change. We still believe that getting married, same gender marriages, that cannot happen. I read something the other day. Somebody said a person was traveling, and a policeman called him, caught him, stopped him, asked him a question, and said to him, asked him his name, and he gave his name. And then they asked him, "Are you married?" The policeman asked him, "Are you married?" This one probably was a Christian, strong Orthodox Christian. He asked him, "Are you married?" So he said, "Yes." So he said, "To who?" He said, "To a woman." So the policeman was also taken aback. Sometimes somebody gives some kind of an awkward answer. Sometimes I think once the policeman got the answer, they asked him, the police asked him that, "Where do you live?" He said, "It's my parents." He said, "Where do your parents live?" He said, "They live with me." The police said, "Okay, how many get through this?" So he said, "Okay, where do you and your parents live?" He said, "We live together." "No way, you're not getting any refund." So the policeman finally told him, "Okay, tell me who's your neighbor?" So he said, "My neighbor is a policeman." "It's a policeman? All right. So who does your neighbor live? Where does your neighbor live?" So he says, "Listen, officer, you will not believe me, but my neighbor lives next to me." He said, "All right, you can go." No problem. So the policeman asked this person, said, "Who are you married to?" He said, "I'm married to a woman." So the policeman was struck. He said, "Do you think anybody would get married to a man?" So he said, "Yes, my sister." Anyway, that's besides the point. But anyway, my respected ladies and gentlemen, our values nobody can change. And don't let that be changed of us. Part of our faith is that we believe. What we believe in, we believe. And nobody can change those values. There are laws that can be changed. There are many laws out there that many people don't agree with. We don't agree with, many other people also don't. We don't agree with many of the tax laws. We're not happy when tax goes up, etc. We aren't happy with that. But my respected brothers and brothers, that's why we don't like it. We don't like it. Those values of ours, those cannot be changed. And as a Muslim, we're proud about the values that we have. فَلِذَٰلِكَ فَدْعُ Invite towards it. وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ Be on whatever you have. Whatever Allah has given you, remain steadfast on it. وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَلَا تَتَّبِعْ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ And don't follow what they have dictated to you. وَقُلْ آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ This is the amazing part of it. Allah Ta'ala says, and continue saying, آمَنْتُ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنْ كِتَابٍ I bring iman in Allah. I bring iman in Allah. In other words, with unembarrassedly, without being embarrassed, unashamedly, go out and continue saying, yes, I'm a believer. Yes, I'm a mu'min. Yes, I'm a believer. I believe in one Allah. I'm a believer. Go on saying it. Why? Because what you say, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ الْكَلَامُ تَكَرَّرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ Because whatever you say, slowly will settle into your heart. Fir'aun never believed that he was Allah. Fir'aun never believed that he was Allah. But he just found that he came to such a group of people who were so naive and they were so, you know, gullible that he put this idea to them and he started believing. He never believed he was Allah. Alright? So, a time came in Egypt when there was no rain at all. And now they came to him and they said, you say that you are the Lord of me, you let the king rain for us. So he was extremely worried. So what he did is, that night, he went out in disguise. And he hung himself in a well, upside down. Okay? In other words, he made himself in a disgraced state. And he hung himself in that way, and he said, O Allah, who is the actual Rabb of the heavens and the earth? You know that I am not Rabb, and I also know that I am not Rabb. But O Allah, these people have vested all their trust in me and their reliance in me. O Allah, you allow rain to come down and I will believe. So my respect to him, that is Allah knew what the outcome is going to be. But of course, Allah did not even Iblis made dua to Allah, isn't it? After he was expelled or after he was rejected, he made dua. He said, oh Allah, give me time, give me respite. Allah said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْزِلِينَ Because that is Allah. Our Allah is Wahhab. He's the giver. So Fir'aun made this dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted. And the next day they were rained. But what happened is that because of the rains, people's belief became even more. The conviction, you know, conviction that Fir'aun, oh yes, look, because of him rain came. And like that, he knew that there was Allah, he knew that Allah was, you know, that he was not Allah. But because of continuously talking and talking and talking and talking, I am Rabb, ana rabbukumul a'la, I am Yarab, I am Yarab, I am Rabb, continuously talking about this here, eventually that particular idea settled in his heart. And then towards the end, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَذَلِكَ زُجْمِنَ لِفِرْعَوْنَ سُوْهُ A time came when he really began to believe it. I think I am Allah. And then he told Haman, build the tower so that I can kill the Rabb of Musa. And he shot an arrow into the sky. He shot an arrow into the sky. And the arrow went and it disappeared, so to say. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed that the arrow be tipped with blood and sent back. And the arrow was tipped with blood and sent back. And Fir'aun said, yes, I did it. I did it. I killed the Rabb of Musa. But this is what happens. So similarly, when a person continuously saying, "Amantu billah," I believe in Allah, I believe in Allah, even though sometimes we are afflicted with doubt, but continuously do what we need to do, say what we need to say, and saying is very important, then I expect that this faith will slowly, but surely, it will get rooted into our hearts. InshaAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us all the understanding and the tawfiq. Mubarak to all those brothers, mashallah, many of you who are sitting in the i'tikaf, come. Tonight onwards, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your ibadah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you on behalf of our entire community and our entire area because you have taken on this great responsibility. And like that, you have discharged this responsibility on behalf of the entire community. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your time and try and spend your time, inshallah, most fruitfully. And all of us too, tonight is the 21st night. My respected elders and brothers, it could be the night of Qadr, the night of power. The dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the same thing which was repeated again and again today also. Ya'fu an sayyat. Allahumma innaka afuun. Tuhibbul afwa. Fa'fu anhi. Oh Allah, you are the all forgiving, the most forgiving. Afuun is not just forgiving. Again, this comes into Arabic. It would have never been, if it was translated into English, it would have never got the true meaning of it. Afuun means the one who completely wipes out any effect or any sign and trace of a sin. That is what happens. So when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, wipe out the sins, in other words, wipe it out completely, wipe it out from the book, wipe it out and press the delete button from the memory of the angels also who have recorded it. And we say one step ahead, oh Allah, wipe out that sin from even from within ourselves, because we commit sins and then we say we're never going to do it again. But after some time we end up falling into that sin. So when we say afuun now,
Call unto Allah that, oh Allah, you're the one who can wipe it out from the memory of the angels. You can wipe it out from my book of deeds. Oh Allah, you can also wipe it out from my habits that I have within me. This innate habit that I have within me, you can also wipe it out from there. Oh Allah, you wipe it out completely. And not only you the one who wipes out sin, tuhibbul afwa. This is what you love doing. You are the one who is forgiving and wiping out sins, and you love doing this. You love doing this. فَعْفُ عَنِّي, therefore please forgive me. And we can say فَعْفُ عَنَّا, and that means forgive all of us. This is the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Continuously read this dua, inshaAllah. And if we can spare a few moments, just alone in solitude, if we can perform two rakats of salah, do so, like we mentioned yesterday. If not, even if you just spare a moment, and shed a tear for the, out of the fear of Allah, or out of yearning for Allah, or out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or out of regret and remorse over our past, just one tear, my respected brothers. And that one tear, inshallah, could be that moment of acceptance, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq of faith. SubhanAllah.